Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. Now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody. So good to have you with us. Joining us on this September 26th, Monday, live from the Austin, Texas area, along with all of our special guests logged in from all parts of the world. And we're so grateful to have you here with us. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, although we have a lot of realtors and others joining in, and we welcome everyone. And we're just grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. Special thank you goes out to our sponsors. I was just on with Finastra. You know, they're the largest fintech company in the world. We're going to be having Chris Zigo coming on and talking about some of the initiatives that are happening there at Finastra and how they're really focusing in on their why, which I really like their why. It's helping companies just meet the community, the needs of their community. It's really an important message. I'm looking forward to having Chris Zingo on. And then also Form Free, we're releasing the interview today in the Hot Topic segment with Eric Lappin. You have got to listen to this. Form Free, again, they have the patented, how do you say that? Getting that tongue caught in my teeth there. The patented account check and passport products that opens doors to a more inclusive credit decision by revealing each customer's true ability to pay, ATP. So really cool what they're doing. Amazing. Be sure to listen to, download and listen to the Eric Lappin interview with Form Free. We got into some really good stuff. Looking forward to what we can see going on with technology. A lot of people are learning and leaning more and more to technology to help them, to companies also like Form Free and Finastra, and as well as Lender Toolkit. They have got some really affordable tools in a market where you're looking at cutting costs, saving money. Take a look at the suite of tools that Lender Toolkit has to offer. Also, SnapDocs, very pleased with our partnership with them. They work backward from the future. Back from the future is that old movie playing on that, where every closing is a flawless experience. Their aim is to completely eradicate errors from their real estate transactions. Good luck on that one. I love it's a normal cause and a great one, and but they do have some technology that goes a great way to really help you with that. Check out SnapDocs. Also, Total Expert. They do a great job with their customer insights into actions that increase loyalty and drive growth for banks, lenders, credit unions, and other financial institutions. A lot of IMBs use this product. It is the best in class out there. Check out Total Expert. Then also, my good friends at Simple Nexus, you know, Brett Taylor, who is working with me for a little bit of time after he left Blend, recently went over to Simple Nexus, and he talks about the culture at this company. This company is one of the ones to be watching. All of our sponsors are, because each one of the categories that they are the sponsors of, or that they rep, all leaders in the marketplace. Simple Nexus is certainly doing an outstanding job. And the cost for them to do the decision, some of the other products of what that help on the front end on the application process, it can be done at half the cost of some of the other bigger names out there, or other big names that are out there, not bigger. Simple Nexus is doing a great job. Also, I want to say thank you to the Mortgage Bankers Association, as well as the Mortgage Collaborative and Lenders One. Love these two co-ops. You should be members of both of them, but you got to be a member of at least one of them. But you need to be a member of the MBA. The reason is because of all the MBA does for us. We got our annual conference coming up in Nashville. So excited about that. Coming up here in the end of October. We're looking forward to seeing many of you there. Also, we have Success Kit and Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, and Modex, Mortgage Advisory Tools, DW Consulting. These are great companies. You can check them all out at our website, Lickin' On Lending, and look at the sponsor page to learn more about what they do. They are just excellent. And by the way, Knowledge Coop, they have a training that's coming up tomorrow in Houston. It's today in Houston, and as well as September 30th here in Austin. Check out what these two companies do, what this company does in the way of their continuing education training. Really solid stuff. And Ken Perry and team do a first-class job of it. If I had to go through a CRE class, I would. This is the one I'd want to be doing. It's the it's what Ken teaches, and the way he teaches is just so solid. I want to say also a special thank you to our regulars, Adam, Les, Matt, David Kittle, who's joining us today again from Chicago, as well as Alice. Alan can't be here, but we wish him well, but Mark Helm is as well. So great contributors to what we're saying here. We're really excited about it. Again, we put out the word last week. We have one of our clients looking for a chief compliance officer. If you know of anyone that's looking for that, please have that, email that to recruit@tms-advisors. We'll pass the resume on to them. Again, we're releasing the podcast today, Democratizing the Consumer Data with Eric Lappin of FormFree. So check out that podcast. And then on this Thursday, September 29th, we'll be releasing the podcast, Right-Sizing Your Business with, that's Mr. Kittle, Howard Nathan, and Stephen Chapman. Great interview we did a while back, and we're releasing that on Thursday. So timely. What's going on? Let's get over to Adam DeSantis with the MBA's Mortgage Minute. What you got for us today, Adam?
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Here are two big developments last week that are important to share. The first, MBA led a coalition of real estate trade groups in a drafted letter submitted to the White House National Economic Council that urged them to support the reduction of mortgage insurance premiums for FHA loans. The letter highlighted the continued housing affordability crisis impacting prospective homebuyers, while also emphasizing the current strength of FHA's Mutual Mortgage Insurance Fund. Also last week, the full House of Representatives advanced VA appraisal modernization legislation. The MBA-endorsed legislation garnered broad bipartisan support and would require the VA to review appraisal certification requirements, encourage hybrid appraisals, employ emerging technologies, and revisit policies on property inspection waivers and minimum property requirements. MBA will continue to advocate for the Senate to swiftly pass companion legislation, either as a standalone measure or as part of other moving legislative vehicles. Now that's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Love what the MBA does for us, guys. You hear what they're doing on the Hill? It's really, really important. And I encourage you to check out what is being pushed out for us to comment on, and via the Mortgage Action Alliance app. That app is such a powerful tool to having our voices heard. And you do not need to be a member of the MBA to download the app. If you're in the mortgage industry, you're in the mortgage business, you could download this app and you have your voice heard on the Hill. Now, you should become a member of the MBA, but you don't have to. So check it out, Mortgage Action Alliance app, and go from there. Adam, thank you so much for the job you're doing each and every week, keeping us posted on what the MBA is focusing on. Look forward to seeing you in Nashville next month, the end of the next month. All right, let's get over to Les Parker, who has been off in Europe and enjoying some vacation with his wife. He's back, and he's got an update for us with this week's segment on TMSpotlight.com with a macro view in the markets. Les, what you got?
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by PowerSeller, making hedging easy.
Bears just a step away. Bulls just a breath away. Losing the bulls today. Jay is just a man, not superhuman. Someone save bulls from the hate. In the mid-80s, the Volcker-led Fed fought inflation, leading to a secular bull market. Mortgage rates were above 14% and fell to under 3%. Since November 2021, rates have risen from 3% to 6%. The secular bull market is not over, but since the near misses, 2022 is a serious attempt. To end it, the 10-year yield needs to close above 3.5% and attack 4%, while staying above 1.25%. Through these volatile times, mortgage bankers need hero leaders. Loans need a hero. These views are my own. Be a hero at tmspotlight.com. A hero's going to save us just in time.
Good segment, Les Parker. He and Gary Cantrobone join up and deliver us some pretty powerful stuff there. Check out Les's newsletter that he publishes each and every week. Check it out at tmspotlight.com. You can sign up for the paid version for free. if you put in the word power for power seller in the place where it requests a code. So there you go. Appreciate you, Les Parker. Good to have you back on U.S. Terra Firma. And I hope you had a great vacation. And we look forward to hearing more from you in these crazy, crazy times. Talking about crazy times, Matt Graham is here from MBS Live. And we're so thrilled to have him here with a market update. We promised not to throw sticks and stones at you, Matt. But this market is ugly.
Don't kill the messenger.
Don't kill the messenger. It's so true. What you got? What do you? How, I mean, we all know what's going on behind the scenes, but love your insights today.
Yeah, I mean, we don't even really know what's going on behind the scenes because it's just changed to fairly drastically in the past few minutes. Markets in full-blown panic mode. Les mentioned rates up to 6%. It's more like 7%. Quite a few people are going to be quoting over 7% today. Yeah, as of Friday, you know, there are a lot of quotes at 6.25. I'm sure that can still be done. Quotes are all over the place when it comes to mortgage rates, but not here to talk about that as much as to discuss the drama. What's behind the drama? What's going on? It doesn't really make a lot of sense at first glance. So, you know, we had the Fed last week. They were almost 100% unchanged on the statement itself, really no change on the statement. And that was interesting. So the market mover then becomes the dot plot of the Fed's economic projections and the rate hike forecast, and then Fed Chair Powell's press conference afterwards. So the dots were a little bit more aggressive than the market was anticipating. That was a little bit bond bearish, but the bond market managed to mostly hold its ground on Wednesday itself, and especially the long end of the yield curve, so 10-year yields, ended up in slightly positive territory. Two-year yields were higher as traders adjusted for the Fed's shift in the rate hike outlook. It really was sort of a housekeeping move, in my opinion. But then on Thursday, yields shot higher very rapidly, and that was confusing because why didn't we trade that on Wednesday afternoon? Obviously, right, if yields were shooting super-duper high, it must be some sort of weird delayed reaction to the Fed. In fact, it was quasi-quartang, and that's not a word I made up. That is a finance minister in the UK who assumed office just a few weeks ago and came out with fiscal policies that basically cut taxes a bunch and increased spending at a time when inflation is already high. And instead, they are opting to try to stimulate the economy, which is in recession in the UK. And this sent shockwaves through the British bond market, the likes of which we have not seen any time recently. Some 30 BIP increases in British 10-year yields. For those who don't watch bond markets overnight, there's always a good amount of correlation between European bond markets and the U.S., and that's especially true of the U.K. It's sort of like, you know, that's mom and dad's house if you are a U.S. Treasury. That's where you came from, and you still want to check in every, you know, from time to time. You sort of get your sensibilities of how to be in the world. So that spilled over to U.S. bond markets and put upward pressure on U.S. rates at a far slower pace for the U.S. than the U.K. And I think that's the thing to focus on here, is we have a couple back-to-back days of 30 BIP increases in British 10-year yields, but nowhere near as much in U.S. 10-year yields. Although we are up to 20 bips now. So today is we're seeing a little bit of a panic. And that panic is a result of widespread speculation that the British Central Bank would come to the market today with an emergency announcement to hike rates and stem the tide of runaway free fall in British pound sterling, and to sort of address some of the damage that is perceived to have been done by this finance minister. But the Bank of England actually said, tough luck. We're not going to do anything. We'll get back in touch with you guys at our next scheduled policy meeting in November. You know, we applaud the government's efforts to do what it thinks it needs to do, and sort of a backhanded slam of these policies. And ever since that happened about 20, 30 minutes ago, bonds have been tanking. I guess this is maybe an hour ago now. Bonds have been tanking because they didn't get what they were looking for from central bankers. And I think that's going to be a theme going forward, with financial markets sort of putting pressure on central banks to, you know, step up and say something like, we're not going to cut off our nose to spite our face on inflation. There is a breaking point at which we're going to try to soothe the financial market. And I think the Fed has talked more tough than it had in the past in that sense. And the market might be looking to push central banks to find where that magic line in the sand is. And they're pushing pretty hard right now and not really getting anything fulfilling. So it's an interesting time and a scary time and a bad time for mortgage rates and the mortgage market and all the rest of it. And I know everybody wants to know, you know, where we top out and what brings that about. But to hear the Fed say it and you know, the average market watcher, we need data and we need a couple months of it, especially lower inflation data. And the Fed is definitely wanting to see growth be hurt by these policies before it feels like it's accomplishing what it wants to accomplish with demand side destruction. And that's going to take more time than a lot of us in the mortgage industry want.
I like that one, demand side destruction. That's a good way to put it. Yes.
I mean, that's their mission right now, David. They're all about demand destruction, and they're waiting for it to show up in the data. They're not content to take our word for it in the housing market and say, hey, you're doing your job. But they are watching the housing market, they say, but I don't know how sensitive they are to, I don't know, the changes that can occur rapidly. They might be looking at data that's maybe a bit stale. We'll see.
Amazing. Good stuff. Good report. I love what you do. I love your screens because of all the. I don't love what's on the data right now. I mean, I'm on the screen.
Yeah, no kidding.
But it's up to date and it's really good. And also a shout out to Adam, your old business partner. What an articulate guy he was. He just does such a good job at his newsletter. I'm thrilled to read it. And you don't bite the people you run with. And he speaks so highly of you. And that was a good part about that conversation. We talked about you, Adam. And I know Adam talked about you and how much he respects you and what an amazing job you're doing with MD's
Live.
Yeah,
mutual.
And you can see why you guys partnered well, and you can see why you're such good friends, because you guys do look at the markets and provide uniquely complementing services to it. So you need to sign up for Adam's newsletter, and you are absolutely need to sign up and become a part of the MBS Live family. We're all relying on your screens a lot, Matt. You do a great job. So you can get an extended trial period by putting in LOL or Lickin' on Lending in the sign-up code. So put that in there, and you will not be required to put in a credit card. Well, otherwise, you would have to. So we appreciate that, Matt. Allowing people to get fully exposed to this powerful tool. Appreciate it. Have a good rest of your day. Go back to your screens. We'll be looking for your updates. I see them always. I'm so grateful for this. I have the screen behind me because every time I do a Zoom call, I want to promote your product. It's so good. But then I get the update on my cell phone, which is also worked right here in front of me at all times. And turn around, look at what's going on in the market. So much information here, and you do a great job. I love how the screens are laid out. Encourage everyone to take a look at what I am talking about. Matt, have a great one. Appreciate you.
Thanks. You too, Dave.
You bet. And say hi to Adam for me as well. Appreciate the opportunity to talk with him. All right. Let's get over to Mr. Kittle, coming to you live from Chicago. David Kittle, good to have you here. And then we'll get Mark Helm in and talk about all that's happening in just a minute. But let's start out with you.
Well, happy Monday, David. And thanks. Good to be here back. I'm in Chicago with the Mortgage Collaborative Conference.
Yeah.
And things are just going great here. You know, we had our largest conference in Miami last year, a fall conference. And every conference we've had since our inception, we've had better attendance at each one after that. This is the first time we're just barely off. We're at 93% of Miami. We've got 422 people here, and everybody's engaging. The collab labs are going well, something unique to the Mortgage Collaborative, where they get together and meet with like lenders, and they all try to make each other better in the marketplace. This morning we met, had private coffee, and then our keynote speaker was Sandra Thompson, director of FHA. Yeah, and then she's just, you know, she's a delight to be around, probably the best one I'd be around. She's just real down to earth, born and raised here in Chicago. She's from here. So So it's nice for her to be back, and this is the third time she's been with us. So our members really like being able to engage her one-on-one. And then tomorrow morning we have Jerry Howard, who's the CEO of the Home Builders, at the opening general session. So we're looking forward to what Jerry has to say, especially after that market report we got a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
So everything's going really well here, Dave.
That's really good. Isn't he the same individual that you interviewed one on stage in Miami?
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. And that was so fascinating when he was talking about the amount of what is built into the price of a home from a regulatory standpoint in Southern California was over 50% of the cost of a home is the regulatory recouping cost. It's crazy.
And you wonder why we don't have any first-time homebuyers.
Yeah, exactly right. And why we're half struggling in the first-time homebuyer the building market. I mean, you just – what they put in there, we've got to fix this. So, see, I wish I could be there. That was – I am sorry to miss it. My wife just got home from being away for her take care of her dad who just passed away. She was there for 2 months taking care of her dad before he passed away. Obviously, you can't take care of someone after they pass away. But there for the funeral and all that, and we were up there, and she just got home, and I didn't feel like I should fly right out. But otherwise, I would have loved to have been there. These TMC conference put together is just really, really solid. And I saw a picture of you.
Yeah, the culture is amazing.
Yeah, go ahead. Say the culture?
No. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I love the picture of you and Brett Taylor, who just recently joined up with Simple Nexus, and you guys are texting me, where are you looking? Wish you were here, that type of thing. And I appreciate that. There is a camaraderie that is at these events that are just so wonderful, David. I don't know how you guys have created that, but it is really wonderful. We come together at these things, and it's a family.
I'll tell you, staff is – Rich Swervinsky, Jim Park, and the great staff we have, and they really have created a culture here that we are 100% member-driven. Mm-hmm. You know, we had Stacy get on stage this morning. We've just launched TMC University, and as that education program grows, and it's growing, we're putting out educational curricula that our members are asking for, not giving them what we think want, but giving them exactly what they want. So as that grows next year, that's going to be very, very primary in the lending space. If I could, before my time runs out, I could speak to the market just for a second.
Yes.
You know, here we are, that's in the tank this morning. We're over 7%, and this is just my call. I was hanging out with some depositories, some of our community banks here, and they were talking about rates just hadn't gone high enough yet for people to be interested in adjustable rate mortgages. And that was on Sunday. Here we are on Monday, and I think people should be interested in them again.
Yes.
Because you can get in maybe $1.50 below what the going 30-year fixed rate is. And then when they come back down, you can always refinance. So don't let the high rates keep you from buying that home that you want. Go to your depository, community bank, whatever, and reach out to them and see if you can get a 5/1 ARM right now. Below the market interest rates. I have one on my home, and they work well, just as long as the person originating it can explain it to you properly.
Yeah, and that's really what's happened. You, in a previous podcast, David, you brought up something that's such a great point, and I think it applies to two areas of our industry. Number one, originations. The knowledge of all the variable products that are out there, and there's so many, and we got locked into a long period of time where the 30-year fixed rate or the 15-year fixed rate was the product, and it was the only product that was necessary and needed. And we lost the knowledge of how to even be aware of what the other products are, much less learn how to explain them and communicate how they can make such a difference and cause people to get into homes that are falling out of their existing homes. And people get nervous about the adjustable rate mortgage, but there's an absolute place for it. And so when you have someone like yourself or someone who's experienced, it can make such a difference. Also, really excited about...
You've got to talk to somebody that really knows what they're talking about, an experienced lender, because, you know, as I said, we all know the people that got into the business since 2009 or 10, because they only know how to sell low interest rate, and they don't know how to sit down and work a deal for somebody. And that's an art, that's a lost
structuring,
art, except for those of us who have been around forever.
Structuring, learning how to structure deals to get people in homes and do it wisely is just... it's become a little bit of a lost art. We're encouraging people to become part of TMC and attend these conferences that are out there that will help you do that. Also, another area, David, I think that's been lost is how to fully and more effectively hedge the risk and have better pricing. Everyone's screaming about the interest rates and where their pricing is and why is there such a disparity. We see UWM's prices out there, and those are so aggressive. And how can they come out with a price that they do that oftentimes is lower than the correspondent price, and they're on a broker basis? How can that happen? Well, you need to look at these kind of tools that are out there, and people get locked just the way they hedged in the good times. That's not going to work in these markets. You have to know people like Adam and then guys like Ted Kramer at Innovient. They'll really help you perfect your game and all of that. Good stuff, David.
Couldn't agree with you more, Dave.
Appreciate it. We've got to go dust off some of those old skill sets, Mr. Kittle. And
we're ready. And by the way, one last comment, since we're in this market, the podcast that's coming up that you're going to show with Stephen and Howard and myself, there is still a lot of talk here. M&A is going on all over the place, even inside the Mortgage Collaborative, and people want to be able to right-size their company and effectively and efficiently grow in this type of market, and there's ways to do that, and we can certainly help you.
And you can listen to the podcast of yourself, Howard Nathan, and Stephen Chapman that we're releasing on Thursday, and learn more about that. Good job, David. Appreciate you dialing in. I know how busy the conferences are, and just really appreciate you dialing in and being here with us. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Good to be here.
You bet. Mark Helm, good to hear. What are your thoughts as you listen to this, Mark? And we're listening to you talk about the skill set on different things. I know we got you coming up on the servicing side, but I meant to get your commentary after we were talking about interest rates. I wanted to get your on what we've talked about thus far. That mute button, Mark. Find that mute button. I know how difficult it is.
I've been having a lot of conversations with a lot of people about a lot of things. And one of the things that a couple of just things that are kind of unique right now, I love going to building supply places. And I love Home Depot and Lowe's, and I love to walk around and look at stuff. And I usually break into conversation with some of the management people and other people there just to chat and see what's going on. And what I found out was that most of them are experiencing a increase in sales of all kind of stuff, home improvement related. A lot of do-it-yourself kind of stuff, mm-hmm. A lot of home improvement contractors, the ones particularly that they assign out to folks and they make a commission for doing that, their contractors are busier than they ever been to do that kind of work. Then I had a conversation with a good friend of mine who's in the credit union business, and he told me that they're knocking it dead right now, not with mortgage loans, but with home equity and line of credit loans for people doing the same thing. And then I talked to some of my buddies in the reverse mortgage space, and they're holding back and saying, maybe people won't be able to do a reverse mortgage to get a bunch of money out to pay off an existing mortgage. The people that have no loans on their property can certainly do a reverse mortgage even with the higher interest rates to get mm-hmm. enough money out to do some home improvement and repairs. So I think the home building industry is going to suffer for a while. I think the sales industry is suffering. I'll give you a perfect example of my neighborhood in Houston, 850 homes. Probably the houses for the most part are $300,000 to $600,000 in the neighborhood. I've had a house on the market now for 5 months because I moved into a retirement community up north of Houston, and my house is a $650,000 to $700,000 house, and it's been on the market for 5 months. It's been sold a whopping, it's been showed a whopping 5 times. That's it. No offers.
Wow.
We got over 30 homes for sale in the neighborhood, and only currently right now, and only 2 homes have sold in the last 90 days. So that tells you what happened to the sales market. So mm-hmm. So the new home market's suffering, the resale market's suffering, the home improvement market might be doing pretty good from what I'm hearing from the builder supply and the credit unions. And I've had 2 mortgage company conversations that I consult with that people are asking me, what do you think about getting in the credit union business and doing business with credit unions and doing home improvement loans for them and all that. And I told them how to reach out and talk to different people. I knew one I could refer to as an area where I knew somebody, and they've signed up already. So I think we're going to see a lot of that. So I think people will be backpedaling to feel what they can. But all while I'm doing all this, guys, and I'm sure Mr. Kittle is experiencing the same thing I'm doing, every time I talk to somebody, they're in there in a mortgage company. They're in their third or fourth cycle of layoffs. And some people are laying off some money. They come up against the federal regulations on how much you can lay off percentage-wise and what's costing. Now they got to give people, pay people extra money when they lay them off than they normally would do to cover that period of time for notice. And people are not done yet. And people thought they'd have been done by now. And the market continues to take a dive on them. It's getting worse and worse. So it's going to be an interesting fall, guys.
We're now in fall.
So
it'll be it's going to be. We got another round of layoffs happening this week with a number of our clients. And so it's unfortunate, but it is one of those things. It is just a sign of the times. And I don't think we're done. I think we may have another round after this. I want to give Dave Savage a shout out. He's the founder and chief innovation officer at Mortgage Coach. Take a look at the post he just put on LinkedIn, listeners. It's called Borrower Intelligence Platform. Take a look at it. It's really interesting. We'll put a link to it in our show notes as well. But it's really interesting as I'm looking at it. He sent it over to me. Who knows what they're doing. All right. Alice Alvey is here with us. Alice, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm well, Dave. We're getting some feedback.
It's Martin. No, it's not from your line. It's actually, I muted Mark out. It was coming from him. So I'm wondering if he has another listening device that's in the background. I heard it coming back. So I muted him out and that killed it. So anyway,
I'll
have him back in just a minute.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Dave. And hello, everybody. So today, a couple of things. You heard in the MBA's report that the House did pass the bill for VA, essentially appraisal modernization. It's a super short bill. It doesn't say a lot in it, so we don't know what's going to happen next. The bill is just directing VA that within 90 days of it being signed by the president, which we're still a ways off from that. We've still got to get a Senate companion bill. So get the president to sign it. We don't anticipate any objections. It's just a matter of can it get moved quickly enough while we're still in this same session of Congress. So that all has to happen by the end of this year in order to be able to actually have something that would be tangible for VA to work with this year. So within 90 days, VA would have to start putting together committees, speaking to the Senate and the House about what their plan would be. But I like how comprehensive the bill is forcing them to think, to really get out of the box on the appraiser approval process, even the minimum property standards, as well as the appraisal types that they'll accept. So more to come on that, but a good first step. A couple other things that you'll see that are happening, there was the MBA did talk about also the Senate Banking Subcommittee. So there was a hearing. The MBA testified at that time. And I think this was great timing to talk more about the Rural Housing Service Program and how it needs to be more efficient. As I've been telling all of you in our previous reports, there is a request for information from the Rural Housing Service to get information about a lender delegated authority. So those comments are due by October 3rd. So you want to search for that. It's a request for information from RHS. And simply put, yes, we want them to follow FHA's process for a lender approval process so that lenders could make the loan underwriting decisions and not have to send loans to RD, RHS, USDA, whatever you want to call them. We want to be able to have control over the underwriting decision and save that time for borrowers. I think they actually want it too. It really is a matter of trying to get their systems adjusted. It's a whole different thing of doing something yourself versus monitoring others to do it the way you want them to do it, right? We all know those are totally different systems, reporting, and so forth. So it will take them some time to come up with some ideas. It'll take them time to figure out how they're going to make that transition. But the more people who comment, the better the likelihood is that they'll have the support they need to jump on it. So please file your comments through the Federal Register on that RFI because they are due by next Monday. Then last but not least, just you'll hear that there's been conversation from the Federal Housing Finance Agency that they were going to take a comprehensive look at the federal home loan banks. So they announced this back in August, but just wanted to let you know that first kickoff session is happening on the 29th, so this Thursday, So for those of you who aren't familiar with the federal home loan banks, you know, I worked with them quite a bit when I had my company, Mortgage U. Really great group of individuals in all of the regions. So there are 11 regional federal home loan banks that serve their communities. So they can be a little more community focused, but they really are a GSE, just like Fannie and Freddie. And I find many people aren't aware of that. And they really do bring some benefit. And the idea here is that they'll talk more about, could an independent mortgage banker actually be considered a member to be able to pool and sell loans to them? So I think this would help smaller companies, smaller independent bankers, definitely. So those meetings are beginning now. If you'd like to file comments because you aren't able to attend or you're feeling you weren't properly invited, you can always send a written comment through the Federal Housing Finance Agency's website. They're taking comments through October 21st. So Dave, I will send those links over to you so they can be available on your website. And just wanted folks to know that you do have a voice in all of this, and that's the way to get it done. So I'll send the links, and you can find them on Lickin' On Lending.
Yes, we'll post them up there. Thank you so much, Alice. Thank you so much for the job you do each and every week, keeping us up to date on it. Mark, did you have any comments, or David, did you have any comments of Alice and on her report, Mark or Mr. Kittle?
No, none from me, Dave. Great report as always.
Yeah.
None from me either. It's a great report. Thank you, Alice.
Yep. Alice does such a good job. Folks, download all of these. It's just so critical. Mark Helm is here. Anyway, let's finish that up. I should say Alice Albee, CMB, Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. Alice, thank you for bringing us the latest legislative update. We've got Mark Helm here. Let me give some feedback, Mark. Do you have another device in the background? I don't know why we're hearing this call.
No, you sure it's for me?
Yeah, it's coming you out. When I mute you out, then it's not. Then it goes away. So it is coming from your phone somehow. I'm not sure how it is. These things, it's just strange. But anyway, it's good to have you here.
All right, I just cut the speakerphone off. How's this?
Yeah, that's it. It's that speakerphone.
Okay,
that's
okay. We can certainly do that. Okay.
All right.
Okay. I want to take a little different path than I've been doing each week and talk about something that is near and dear to me in this core servicing of mortgage loans and the effect it has on mortgage company survival. It has mortgage servicing books and valuations and everything like that. And I want to approach it from a different angle right now and share with you some thoughts of what's happening. We've got a unique thing happening right now. With mortgage volume down, we won't have new loans coming on board, so we probably won't have a lot of first payment defaults. But we will, for the loans that come on board, we're going to have an interesting underwriting cycle, because as good as we are in the mortgage industry and underwrite loans, there are certain things that we do not pick up in the underwriting cycle that we have to depend on the borrowers for. A lot of times it's child support and spousal support or miscellaneous deals they've done where they owe people money and it's not a matter of public record, et cetera. And when you get people applying for a new loan now with the rates up, and it's going to move their payment up, and you have those things missing from the credit profile that you're doing, they have a much larger effect on the loan's performance than they would have when the rates were 3%. And it's kind of an interesting scenario to go through. And then so we have that happening out there right now, and that's going to have a detrimental effect. And for our industry, you know, it's not a point in delinquency that causes big things. It's 10 basis points or 15 basis points in certain areas on delinquency that really cause different types of mortgage companies different scenarios to deal with. In a GMA environment, you're advancing more money with a 10 point basis point reduction in increase in delinquency rather. And so that can lead to more advances that you're doing. And then when loans get delinquent, the mortgage companies have to advance funds for payment of tax and insurance in many cases of not receiving payments. And they have lines with banks and other folks. A lot of times it's with their warehouse banks to help them cover those advances they're doing on their portfolio. And it's a long recovery cycle for that. In some states, it's just unbelievable, because a lot of times you don't recover that till you get through the full foreclosure cycle and you're filing a claim. And in some states that can be, you know, 15, 18 months, 2 years. And if they throw a bankruptcy in there, it even makes it worse. So it's one of those things where it's bad enough that the mortgage companies are struggling today with volume, but those that have portfolios and are still doing new loans might see a different kind of loan coming through and might see a different kind of loan in their portfolio than they had before as people get stretched out with other things costing more money. The only positive thing I can say, since I did some traveling in the last few days by automobile, I found out that I stopped three different filling stations and got gas for less than $3 a gallon going through the southeastern United States. It was $2.96, $2.95 in most places. That was a positive upturn. But our borrowers are really, really sensitive to interest rate climbing on credit cards. Okay. They're sensitive to extra bills they pay. And we just sometimes always think about people qualifying for loans, but we not got to use a little bit of focus on if somebody has a loan with you, what can we do? So I'm advising the clients that I consult with that have mortgage portfolios that when they have some downtime in customer service right now, they need to do some health and welfare calls, especially people that have a history of delinquencies in the past and aren't delinquent today. Check on those people and see how they're doing. And the other thing that makes it really tough, and most people don't think about this, the homes in my subdivision are for sale. The vast majority of those homes are vacant because people have already moved on to a new state and a new job. And here they are, in many cases, bought a house at a new location, still got a mortgage payment, still paying utilities, et cetera, while they're showing house. So you could have, you know, delinquencies pop up on both loans, not only their old loan where they left, but the new loan they're going to because they now have double housing cost out of their paychecks every month. Mm-hmm. So we've got to take those things into consideration. So I'm asking lenders as a favor to themselves and a favor to our economy and certainly a favor to their borrowers. They're being very proactive with their customers and making sure their customers are okay and catch a delinquency before it happens and offering them some forbearance plans and other things that help them get over the hump of whatever's happening to them that's causing that, whether it's just the things we talked about than owning a second home or it's the expenses on the new home and the new interest rate are more than they thought it was ever going to be because the rates doubled and things like that. But the more attention we pay to our customers today, the better servicing asset we're going to have in the future, the happier the customers are going to be, and we're doing the right thing. So I encourage my fellow members of the mortgage bank community at Service Loans, do the right things, help your customers where you can, and be proactive in these hard times because it is going to be a ripple effect that goes through the borrowers you have on your books today. So I hope that insight was helpful for everyone, David, and I appreciate the opportunity to share it.
Yeah, it's good. Quick question from that just came in from one of our listeners about the approval process. Is it continuing? Are you seeing, Mark, here's the question. Are you continuing to see a tightening across the board with Fannie, Freddie, and Ginnie, or is it just continuing to be more so with Ginnie Mae?
On the approval for
GSE's
relationship, we're seeing it all across the board, David. I mean, we're seeing it in core FHA and VA approvals. I've never seen the eyeballs looking at approvals just to get an FHA and VA approval like they're doing right now. I mean, they're crossing T's and dotting I's that they've never really focused on before. And we're seeing with the GSEs, we're seeing increased scrutiny of information provided. And certainly right now with mortgage companies kind of losing money for a while and the trend being losing some money for a little longer, we don't know how long, but a little longer, there's going to be a lot more scrutiny on financial statements and how people are capitalized and whether they can weather the storm, et cetera. And, you know, Ginnie Mae in August put up the new guidelines for increased capital requirements for people doing business with Ginnie Mae because they're concerned about that and they're basing it and looking long and hard at the servicing book people have and making sure their capital is adequate to carry advances on loans if they do get into delinquent problems. And I don't think they're doing this because of what's happening in the economy. I think it's something Ginnie Mae's been wanting to focus on, and they did it, and they put it out there, and it's going to have a ripple effect, too, on lenders because there's a lot of lenders aren't going to qualify from a capital requirement in the future, and there's going to be some that are in business with Ginnie Mae today that might not be able to remain in business, and that's going to cause servicing to have to move. That's going to cause a lack of one more channel for them to deliver loans to. So it's going to have ripple effects throughout our industry because of those things.
Excellent. Yeah, really, really good. And the last question that just came in as you were talking, yeah, you get lots of live questions here today, Mark. That's encouraging. People are listening and wanting your thoughts. Here's this last one, and keep them coming, listeners. We'll just keep them. We'll stack them up with Mark, and we'll respond next week. Is there any chance of us losing our agency approvals? Are you hearing of Fannie, Freddie, or Jenny because we're not selling to them, or in the case of we have a seller servicer approval, we're not retaining servicing? Any chance of us losing our approvals because of a lack of activity?
Well, the agencies are smart enough to know what we're going through in the marketplace today. So I think a decrease in your market presence with Fannie and Freddie and Jenny will not necessarily cause you to lose your approval, as long as you've got a servicing base with them you created in the past. But for those lenders out there that have no servicing basis with Fannie, Freddie, and Jenny, and they've just elected not to keep the servicing, I think they'll Freddie and Fannie, they'll still be able to sell loans, but they won't have that seller service approval where they could service them, particularly especially if they sold their whole servicing portfolio at all. And, of course, in the Jenny Mae world, it's a different world. Your approval there as a seller servicer approval, and they expect you to deliver and service loans. And I do not think if there was if any of those agencies that I think are going to tighten up on that, I think it probably more so Jenny Mae than the others, but because they do have that option where you can continue to sell loans and not service them. But on Jenny Mae, if they're setting somebody up, they want somebody to deliver loans and service the loans. And if they're not going to be in that business and you don't build a portfolio, I think you could have issues with Jenny Mae on a go-forward basis. And I think if you asked Jenny Mae, they would probably tell you that. So I think it's something you need to be concerned about. Now, do I have a crystal ball that tells you how much you need to deliver to any of those investors on a monthly basis to stay in good stead with them? No, I don't. I have no idea. But I think it's a call that individual lenders ought to have with their reps about the volume they're doing and say, we value our approval, went to a lot of trouble to get it. We want to stay in business with you guys and keep them educated about what you can deliver and what you're planning on delivering, and let them know as soon as this market turns, you'll be increasing production and you will give them more loans. And if they have any problems with what you're doing, they should tell you. That's the right thing for them to do, and they should tell you. So I think you should point blank ask that question of them. I'm going to ask that question of them next time I talk to them and ask them, are you telling servicers what kind of volume or lenders what kind of volume they have to have with you to retain your ticket? I'm going to be asking that question, and if I get answers on it that are repeatable, I will share them on this podcast.
Perfect. Good, good, good. We need to get some of the folks from Jenny to come back on the podcast. We had Gregory Keith. We need to get him back on. Not Gregory Keith. That's another. Is it? I'm thinking
it's
who
Gregory
it is.
Keith. It's
that
Gregory
is Gregory Keith.
Keith.
I did have it
Chief
right.
Chief Risk Officer, yes, sir. That's who it is.
Yeah. We need to get back on the podcast. He's always so gracious. Come on, yeah. Get some of these questions on. Good stuff. Got questions coming in, but we've got to wrap it up with this. And we'll get over Alice as we wrap up the podcast. Anything? We're getting some questions in for you, Alice. Unfortunately, we're not going to ask them because they're wanting to know what's going on with Union Home. One of the lenders just wrote in and says, could you ask a question of Alice about some policy that you're doing at Union Home? Listeners, don't ask questions like that. We're not going to answer those. She can't talk about what she's doing there. But it's a compliment to you, Alice, that you work for a great company and you guys are great competitors out there. So pass that on to Bill. Anyway, they want to know what some of your secret sauce is out there, Alice.
Yeah, can't share that. But I was very interested in the comments that that Mark made to basically talking to the loan officer base out there. I thought that was extremely valuable, that you've got to be able to get everything uncovered, because there is a bigger impact to consumers in servicing. And yes, you have to care about whether that loan's going to perform, because there is a ripple effect. So I hope lots of notes on that, and that's messaging to pass on to your sales team. Yeah.
It's good. Good doubling down on that. Thank you, Alice. Appreciate it. Mr. Kittle, got anything for us there in Chicago?
No, sir. I'm here listening to all the great comments. And, boy, I tell you that, Mark Helm, smartest man I know around servicing.
When it comes to servicing, Mark Helm is the guy. You Google mortgage servicing, you're going to come up with Mark Helm on it every time. It's really good. It's so true. Alice, David, Mark, thank you for joining here. Matt's already dropped and gone back to the markets. By the way, Alan Pollock says he could not make it here. He got called into a meeting. He could be at TMC. It's very likely he's at the TMC conference as well. But anyway, a lot of people are there. Check out TMC and all that's going on. And you need there. We'll go see all y'all, as we say here in Texas, all y'all. We'll see you there in Nashville at the Nashville conference. So many of you reached out and saying you want to spend some time together. By the way, I'll be doing at our newest sponsor, who is just joining us on next week, is Candor. I'll be doing a live podcast from their event on Monday night. So be looking for some details on that. Very excited to be having Candor as our newest sponsor. So get ahead of the game here and give them a shout out. So if you're planning the events Monday night, make sure you make the Candor event, as we will be doing a live podcast. I'd love to have you come on up onto the platform and share your experience with Candor. A lot of people love that product. It's making such a difference in reducing cost and increasing productivity. All right, Alice, Mark, and David, thank you so much for being here. Thank you, listeners, for being here. Check out that that note what David Savage just posted in LinkedIn. Google his name. You'll see it up there. It's really good information. We could go on and on. Pay attention. We got the – go listen to the podcast that we just released today on democratizing the consumer data. What do we mean by democratizing? Eric Lappin does a great job of Forum Free explaining that. And also on Thursday, listen to the podcast with Mr. Kittle himself, Howard Nathan, and Stephen Chapman. We're going to be releasing that on how to right-size your business. Very good. Thank you so much, listeners, for being here. Thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, Forum Free, Leonard Toolkit, SnapDocs, Total Expert, Simple Nexus, the MBA, Lenders One. Leader One is a client, so you should give them a shout-out, as well as the Mortgage Collaborative, Success Kit, Knowledge Coop, Mobility, MMI, Modex, and the Mortgage Advisory Tools and DW Consulting. Grant, thank you all for making this podcast possible. Have a great week. Listen to these other podcasts we're releasing today and on Thursday. A lot more from Lincoln and Lending. Really excited about some of the interviews we're doing right now that we'll be sharing with you shortly. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.